Typically, our organization runs with $10,000 in the bank at the end of the year. We carry it over, then we start our fundraising immediately with our annual dinner, and then it just, the cycle continues. That isn't a great thing when you have two of your largest events, which is 40% of your revenue, that are weather dependent. We've been very lucky up until this point that we've always made enough to kind of have the cushion still remain. Over the last 4 years, we, for those events, we've been asked to take on payment or to acquire services that were typically provided by the city. For instance, when we got ready to do Taste 4 or 5 years ago, we meet with Public Works and they said, well, you're going to have to find us someone to clean the streets this year. We're not going to be able to do that. So we had to go out and hire a street cleaner, the actual machine, the person, you know, to do that at 2 in the morning. Also, we're not going to be able to provide the dumpsters this year. You're going to have to go hire a company to get the waste, haul the waste away, and so forth. And then meters were then put on the electrical boxes where we were paying for electricity. So those were expenses we typically never dealt with prior to this administration. This last 4 years we've been paying for that. It's been eroding our cushion and the fact that we had a couple of really, really hot days where the events didn't do as well as we thought. So right after Blues and Barbecue 2014, we're like, we're in trouble. So we didn't have enough cash revenue to get us through to the end of the year with no other fundraisers or events coming up.
So how did you recover? And looking back, what would you have done differently?
Well, we have our Board of Trustees, which is, in an essence, kind of our finance committee. It's the larger companies in downtown Springfield, the banks, the attorneys, Isringhausen, and so forth, that are really kind of our finance committee. They did a lot of fundraising. We did a lot of fundraising. What to us was catastrophic really was a great opportunity to educate people about what we do, people who didn't know. You know, they're like, you do the farmer's market? The farmer's market might go away. And I mean, just people who believed in the market were sending us $25 a time or just folks who love to come down and do the holiday walks and ride the horse-drawn trolley. You know, things that we had done for so many years that people either had forgotten or never knew that we did were in jeopardy. And we were able to educate people to a lot of the things we do. So that was good. I mean, it was really just a grassroots effort. And we were able to raise close to $40,000 in one night. With that came a lot of responsibility, accountability, and really for us to take two steps back and just go, okay, we know we can't work harder, but we can work smarter. Let's try to think of something. So our leadership, members of our Board of Trustees, our Board of Directors, and even community partners from Soho, and we invited everyone to come and sit down on a snowy Monday night, and we just all kind of talked it out and came up with some ideas for some changes to our events. Because, you know, we like to think of ourselves as the pioneers of the outdoor music festival because we've been doing them for 15, 20 years. But there's a ton of them. We're not the only game in town. And we thought, let's change things up a little. So we did. And now we have an events and promotions committee that is full time thinking of crazy ideas and fun things that not only will benefit our members, the downtown merchants and residents, but also benefit the community.
And so listeners will be familiar with events like the Taste of Downtown or Blues and Barbecues. Will those events still be around?
Absolutely. And Taste will kind of morph into what we're calling the Downtown Throwdown. And that'll be an annual event. And it will still, the priority will still be highlighting downtown restaurants. But every year, that Downtown Throwdown can take on a new component. This year, we're going to do bacon. That doesn't mean that every restaurant, downtown restaurant, has to serve only bacon. What we'll do is we'll have a contest, who can come up with the most creative dish, the craziest dish, what have you, surrounding around the theme. But they can still serve. Mulliners can still sell their homemade chips. Augie's can still do, you know, his crab cakes. You can, whatever. But it'll be around a theme. And this way, I think we can do some fun things with some sponsors. You know, we've even had folks say, let's have a little baby pig race. I mean, we can do whatever we want. So that's kind of how we're shaking that event up. Blues and Barbecues is always the second to the last or almost the last weekend of August, depending on when the fair falls. Well, the fair falls on the weekend we've been having it. They're going a little bit later this year. So We decided, well, we need to change the date anyways, and we kind of polled our vendors and our competitors, and they all thought it'd be funner to do in October. October's cooler, and you know, they're standing around hot grills, and we've had some pretty hot blues and barbecues. So we are be doing that October 2nd and 3rd this year.
As you mentioned, you have the new committee to help plan events. Can you tell us a little bit about that group?
People from the Convention Center, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, SOHO, you know, other organizations, Public Works is involved. Really just thinking outside of the box of things they've seen in other cities, really trying to be really cognizant of this, the fact we have two staff people. We do have a large base of volunteers, but two staff people, ones that aren't heavy on the front end for costs. And they're really just looking at ideas right now of small trivia nights or mixers. We'd love to do something with the UIS students. We've been talking with the Chancellor's Office for a long time about doing some mixers or maybe some meet and greets with company owners and CEOs and students at the same time, maybe at the BOS Plaza, something like that. But not always money-making, but just something that's really great for our organization and the downtown community.
Something else that's in the works is contracting with the city for financial help. Where does that stand so far?
We sent a proposal to the city on November 24th. We have not officially heard anything, although the mayor did mention in his State of the Downtown address that he was wanting to give Downtown Springfield Inc. $40,000 of the $50,000 that we requested, but it would have to come out of the mural money that we've already had legislated. Right now, I have requested a clarification from the city on that statement.
Have you heard any other reactions from aldermen, for example?
Well, initially when we proposed the $50,000, and the actual contractual services agreement that we drafted and sent to the mayor, we were watching the budget talks and realized there was no money in any of the budgets for our organization. At that time, Alderman Jobe and Kamen had said they would be drafting an amendment to the budget to do that. And then the mayor made the announcement at our dinner that we would be getting money, but it would be from another program. So I'm not sure legally how that'll work once it's been passed, voted on and passed, and isn't an ordinance in place, a redevelopment agreement, which is legal. How do I take that money out and put it to something else? You know, I've asked the mayor for clarification. Do we need another agreement? Do we just go ahead and try to get an amendment through the traditional route and get it from the corporate fund? As the director of this organization, my initial request was that $50,000 come out of the corporate fund or the Convention Visitors Bureau, hotel motel tax, or the video gambling, or something annually. Because the way it is now, 2016, the TIF is over, and I want this to be a long-term, sustainable partnership that this organization has with the city, just like the Chamber. You know, we believe it's just as much an economic driver for the downtown 22 square block area as the Chamber is for the Sangamon County region. So that was my whole objective in going for the money in the first place.
So as it is now, do you feel like the budget is in a good, stable place?
We do. We are in a good place for a couple reasons. Not only did that fundraiser get us to a good place, we've started the discussion with Public Works about them helping with the services that were more or less taken away over the few years. You know, we have meetings next week about that. We've talked to this administration about our needs and what we feel our role in the community is. We also did a small promotion, the Shop Hop card, which we had this holiday season where we sold $10 Shop Hop cards for all the stores, and they're good for a whole year. It's not a punch card. I mean, whatever's on that card, you can use every day. And we sold upwards to 300 of those. So that was another $3,000 to our budget, which is a huge amount of money for us. So at the end of this year, we had about $22,000 going into the bank. And then we just had our big annual dinner, which is also a fundraiser where we recognize award winners.
What would be the ideal, realistic maybe, but ideal situation for DSI to be in a year from now?
We would be able to provide great promotion for the downtown area, be recognized for doing that, also have a really strong partnership with our municipality that sees us as an economic partner and not just event planners, because that's not what we are. You know, the money, our events are revenue for us, revenue sources, and in some cases, you know, are promoting a specific entity, whether it be a restaurant or what have you. But they really are, at this point, community things to promote downtown, give back to the city, promote a restaurant. You know, we also bring not-for-profits in to help us, and we give to their organizations. So we think of them as really community events. But to look at that, to see the work we're doing historic preservation, to see the work we're doing with image of our downtown, to know we're actively involved in recruiting residents for downtown, working with developers. You know, it's not just about the next beer festival for us. So we really want to be seen as a partner with the city and have a sort. We're not looking to make millions of dollars. That's not what not-for-profits are. But if you don't make any profit, then you aren't a not-for-profit. So we just really want to be recognized alongside the chamber, alongside Local First, as those people who are helping make downtown vital.
And what about 10 years from now? Do you see, is it the same answer or?
The same answer, but really to a point where what we really need is staff. And it's hard to, with two staff, to grow bigger, to get three staff, to go bigger, to get four staff. So I think an input from the city and a partnership with the city would allow us to hire that next person who would be able to work strictly with retail, would be able to work strictly on membership, where we can go out and do some more programming and hold retail seminars and maybe do some developer attraction things. You really get on a treadmill where you just can't get off to even do the next thing. And I know that many, many people are like that today. But in 10 years, I would love to see a long-term revenue source for the downtown established, whether it be a special service area or a business incentive district, to replace a TIF but be long-term. And then that money can be used for cleaning streets, greening, things where the city would supplement what the city is doing and also supplement what other not-for-profits are doing. But that would sustain a staff to do all the things that we'd love to do.